Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Goron Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Sivia Margaretin Chanetsky, and also Le'ilui Nishmas Sarah Weinstock, Sarah Leia Bas Moshe. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin with the Mishnah, three lines from the bottom on Kuf Tes Zayin Omid Beis. The Mishnah states, Beishamai Yomim, Beishamai says, Tinase, when the woman says that her husband passed away, so we accept her testimony, under those circumstances we do, there's no fighting between her and her husband, and in fact, there's peace in the world, so as we learned in the previous Gemaras, we accept her testimony, and Beishamai says, we allow her to get remarried, and she can collect her ksuba. On the other hand, Beis Hillel is more machmir. Beis Hillel omrim, yes, we allow her to get married. Tinase, we accept her testimony in order to prevent her from becoming an aguna because of the principle of daika o mitzvah. She'll really check it out and make sure that that's the case because otherwise the penalties are so great. So she won't get married until she's verified that her husband really passed away. But we still don't allow her to go and collect her ksuba because that's a monetary matter and all monetary matters require two kosher eidim. So Beis Hillel says that while we let her marry, we don't give her a ksuba. Bishami says to Beis Hillel, it doesn't make any sense. He tired them erev uchamura. We allow this woman, who right now is considered married, to be considered not married and to go marry somebody else. That's an isser of ereva. That's a much more stricter isser than a financial matter. Below natir mamon akal. So if we're allowing her to get married, certainly we shouldn't. We give her a ksuba. Beis Hillel says in response, however, Amalei Beis Hillel, Motzinu, when we turn to Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, we find Shein ha'achin nichnosin l'nachlo alpia. Even though she says that the husband is dead, so the brothers don't inherit the husband, so therefore you see that there is a financial matter that we don't allow the brothers to go inherit their dead brother. So therefore, since there are no children in this situation, otherwise his children would inherit him, we don't allow the brothers to go inherit him. So you see, even though we allow her to get remarried, we don't allow the brothers to go and inherit their dead brother. So therefore, Beis Hillel says, we're consistent that monetary matters require to aid them, albeit we do let the woman get married because of the concern of iguna, that she shouldn't become chained and not able to marry. To this, Beis Shammai responds again, Amalei Beis Shammai, v'alo mi sefer kisuba nilmo, but from looking at the wording, the language of the ksuba, you should be able to figure out that she should be entitled to collect her ksuba, because what does the ksuba say? Shukosiv, when he writes the ksuba for it, says, she'im tinasi li'acher, if you do get married to somebody else, titli masha kosuv lechi, then you're entitled to go and collect what's written in this document, in this ksuba. So therefore, from the fact that she's allowed to marry somebody else, the ksuba says she's allowed to go and collect her ksuba. So based upon these two responses that Beis Shammai responded to Beis Hillel, so it's either one or both of them, the Chozu Beis Hillel Lahoros Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel ultimately retracted their position and not only allowed the woman to get married based upon the testimony of herself or a single witness, but they allow her to go and collect the ksuba as well. Gemara starts off and tells us, Amar Chista Nisyabma. Even Beis Hillel would agree that if the woman underwent Yibam, Yevoma Nichnas Nanachalo Alpia, then the one who does Yibam with her is entitled to go and collect the estate of the dead brother, the one who did Yibam to that person's wife, the widow. And they darshaned it from the following. Himdarshu Medrash Kisuba, so Anulo Nedrash Medrash Torah, they said if Beis Shammai was able to go and darshan from the language of the Ksuba, that she's entitled to the Ksuba, so certainly we should be able to darshan from the language of the Torah, that the brother who does Yibam should be entitled to go collect the estate of the dead brother. And that's based upon the Pasuk. It says, Yakum Hashem Achim. The Pasuk says that the one who does Yibam will do this in the place of his brother. He'll establish the name of his brother. That's what the Torah says, Amar Rachmana. And when he does Yibam, Bahari Kam. So he did this, and therefore he's entitled to go and collect the Ksuba, like we dashed earlier in the Masechta. Mark continues, says, Amar Rav Nachman says, Bas Leveis Din, if the woman comes to the Beis Din, the Amar, and she says, my husband died, Meis Bali, and therefore, Hatiruni Lihinase, and therefore, please allow me to go get married. Give me permission to get married. And this is what we discussed previously when she's an Eid Echad. So she is believed if there is peace between her and her husband, and there's peace in the world. So she asks Beis Din for permission to go get married, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So when she phrases it in this way, let me get married. So in that situation, not only do we let her get married, Matirin Oso Leinase, but also Vinostin Lo Ksubasa. In that situation, she's entitled to collect the Ksuba. But if she comes into the Beis Din and says, give me my Ksuba, Tenu Li Ksubasi, seemingly not interested in getting married, only interested in the money, so then then we are concerned that maybe this woman is just interested in the money. She's not interested in getting married, which is strange, and she just wants to collect the money of her ksuba, and maybe her husband really isn't dead, and then she's just trying to pull a fast one over here. So in that situation, not only do we not give her a ksuba, but we don't even allow her to go get married in that situation, even though under normal circumstances if she says her husband died, we were allowed to get married. But since here she's asking for a ksuba and not interested in getting married, it raises our suspicions, and we don't allow her to do either one. Again, the Gemara says, what I just told you, my time, what's the reasoning? Because adaita de ksuba, it seems that she's only interested in the ksuba, and therefore we're concerned that she may not be telling us the truth. And as Rashi adds, Dibra Masra Daita Ksuba soy, Ubafuki Mamona, to go take out money, Sahadi, but you need two kosher witnesses to take out money. And since that seems to be all that she's interested in, we don't let her go take out Ksuba. And once we don't let her take the Ksuba, we also don't let her go get remarried, because that didn't seem to be her primary interest. Now the Gemara says, based upon this, the following Shaili, Barlu, the Esn Beis Medrash. If she were to say both, Hitiruni Lihinase and Utnu Li Ksubasi, first she said, can I get married? And then she says, can I also collect my Ksuba? Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say, Kivan the Amar Ksuba Asu, since the obvious mention of the Ksuba shows that maybe she's doing this just for the money, so then Adaita the Ksuba Asoi, so maybe she's really doing this just for the purposes of the Ksuba, and we shouldn't allow her to go collect it, like we just said. Or do we say, no, Odilma, call Mili the Isleli Inish, when a person comes to Beis Din for adjudication, so he doesn't only address the major things, he addresses the minor things as well, he addresses everything. And therefore, Amalula Beidina. So therefore, she says in this situation to the Beis Din, I want to be allowed to go get married. And by the way, I also want to collect my ksuba, and therefore, her primary interest is in getting married, and therefore, we believe her. So that's the question that we ask. Do we not believe her, or do we believe her when she asks both to get remarried as well as to collect the ksuba, in that order? And then the Gemara says, and if you want to say that we believe her in this situation, in Tim Silomar, Komili the Isleli Inish, Amalul Beidina, then yes, that logic was very good. She's asking to get remarried, that's her major concern, but while she's there in the basin, she says, and no, by the way, I'd like to collect my ksuba, so then we believe her. So in that situation where she first asked Hitiruli Ninase, and then she asked for ksuba, we can say, yes, we'll give them both. What about in the following situation? If she were to do it in the other order, she says, first, Tinuli Ksubasi, and by the way, also Vitiruni Linase Mahu. Here, do we say the same thing, that she's asking for both? Hocha v'adai adaita the ksuba soy? Or do we say, no, she's definitely coming for the ksuba, and therefore, we don't believe her. Or do we say, Odilma, ho, delo yodim, my mishtarya, maybe she doesn't really know. As Rashi says in this situation, v'kiva diskira nisuin, since she does mention she wants to get married, so galya daita l'misharya asoy, that that was the real purpose in her coming to this Beis Din to allow her to get married. She thought, v'had the amra bereisha, why she said first, tenu liksubasi, she thought, shemo kisvurahi shizu hatarasa. She thought, that's the way that you'd let me get married. When I collect my ksuba, that means that I'm no longer involved with my husband, and therefore I would be allowed in this situation to go get remarried. So maybe it's her misunderstanding of the process is why she said first, let me collect my ksuba, and not because she's just interested in the money and doesn't really, maybe, telling us the truth that her husband died. So in this situation, we have two possible ways to go. No clear resolution. The Gemara resolves it with Teiko. We don't have a definitive answer. Tishbi Yitar, it's Kushos Yabais. Wait till Eliyahu Navi comes, Meherbi Yomeinu, and we'll tell us what the Psak is. Next Mishnah. Hakol Nemanim Le'ida. This is a very famous Mishnah that says that everybody is believed to be an Eid Echot to testify in this situation, Mishumi Guna, so that the woman doesn't have to be, unfortunately, in a situation where she can never get married until we have definitive proof that her husband died. But if even one witness, even a non-kosher witness comes, a woman or an Evet were to come, or even somebody with hearsay evidence were to come and say that her husband is dead, so because of the principle of Daika Umintzava, she'll only get married if she really checks it out, so we believe anyone. Hakol Nemonim Leida, anybody is believed to tell her, but there are five women that are not. Chutz from the following five women. Mechamosa, her mother-in-law. Why do we not believe her mother-in-law to say that the husband is dead? Because the mother-in-law doesn't like her. There's a normal, dislike between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. And Rashi says, the kulu b'mnei shesonos osa. Every one of these five women, there's a potential hatred or dislike fighting between them that would make them possibly be suspected to say, yeah, I'll go say that your husband is dead, and this way you'll go get remarried, and then he's going to show up, and you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So because there may be this desire on the behalf of these five women to show up the wife, by saying that she's a widow when she's really not, so therefore they're not believed to say that the husband died. Who are these five women? The first one we said is Chamosa, a mother-in-law. Ubas Chamosa. Rashi explains that the daughter of the mother-in-law naturally thinks that the mother-in-law is constantly getting the short end of the stick from her daughter-in-law. So the daughter of the mother-in-law is going to have a certain enmity, a certain dislike towards her mother's daughter-in-law. Okay, that's woman number two. The chamosa is the mother-in-law and the daughter of the mother-in-law. Then vitzarasa, any co-wives. There's always potential contention for affection and for time to be spending with the husband. So one of the co-wives might be only too happy to get rid of the other co-wife by saying, oh yeah, our husband passed away. Meanwhile, she knows that it's not true, so she doesn't get married. The co-wife, who she dislikes, goes and gets married, and all of a sudden the husband comes back, and all of a sudden the co-wife is in gach d'tzaras, as we mentioned previously. Kol ha'dvar me'ela, all the things that we said. She can't get married to her first husband, can't stay married to her second husband, and the children aren't there, etc. So the co-wife is laughing all the way to the bank, and therefore she's not believed. That's number three. Number four is the Yevimta. That would be the Yavam's wife, the one who's going to do Yibam with her. So that wife isn't believed because there's a concern that she may always have that, listen, we could be co-wives someday, and I don't want you to be a co-wife. So Tosus points out, but wait a second, right now, Tibur Masal Chutz Mi Chamosa, so it says, at the end of that Tosus, even Tomer, Velo Kishimi Ida Ayavama Shemes, when she says that the Yavama's husband has died, so then Shema Yavamina Bala, then exactly what she's concerned about, that there'll be co-wives, is going to happen, possibly. So how come we're not concerned about that? So the Gemara says, Tosus answers, Yesh Lomar, Sheinu Choshesh B'kach. She doesn't care about that short period of time that they'll be co-wives, because she knows that what she's selling is not true, and that the husband's going to come back and eis co-wives be very quickly. Kivin Shodah Shabbal Chai, she knows that the woman's husband is alive, V'yachzor V'libisov, he's going to return, V'libisov Yakal Kalena, and this woman will be ruined. So therefore, for a short period of time, she's willing to let her be her co-wife, and that's why Yevimta, the Yavim's wife, is not believed. And the fifth and final one of these five that our Mishnah tells us is Ubas Bala, and that is the daughter of her husband from another wife. So therefore, that's her stepdaughter, and there's a natural dislike between them as well, because the stepdaughter is always assuming that the wife of her father is taking away the funds and the things that used to be her mother's, and now the new wife, the vicious stepwife, is now taking all of that. So therefore, there's an enmity, a dislike between these five women and the wife, and therefore, we don't believe these five women. As Rashi says, shesnuos, they hate her, and therefore, there's the potential that they're willing to lie over here and say that the husband dead when he's not, in order that she should run into trouble. However, the Mishnah tells us that by a get, these five women are believed. Only to say that the husband died, they're not believed. But if they bring a get, we know that when you bring a get from Chutz Laaretz, you have to say, I was with him at the time that they wrote him, Imano Yisem, and I saw that everything was done properly. So the five women that are mentioned over here, if they're the ones that bring the get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, they are believed. So the Mishnah asks, how come by a get they're believed, and by the statement of testimony they're not believed? The Mishnah says, Ma bein get lemisa. Why do we believe them when they have the get in their hands to say, Lefani nechtam, Lefani nechtam, that it was all done properly, but when they say that the husband died in Chutz Laaretz, they're not believed? So the Mishnah gives the obvious answer, Shaksav mochiach, as Rashi points out, V'samchinon ikur aksoba, because there's a get over here that's written with witnesses on it. And yes, the Befani Nechtam is essential, but that's not the real critical part of the get. So you have Raglayim Ladova, you have clear-cut proof that there is a get over here, and her role, these five women's role, is a minor role comparatively, as opposed to when they're the ones that are saying that the husband died, they're playing 100% of the role, and therefore, when they're saying that the husband died, they're not believed. But here with the get, since the get itself was the proof, they are believed. Mara starts off and says in the base Medrash, they ask the following Shaila, what about the following women? Yibayalu bas chomiya mahu. We said that the mother-in-law's daughter is not believed. What about the father-in-law's daughter? Here's a daughter from a different wife. What about her? Is she believed or not believed? Two possibilities. Taima de bas chomasa. Why is the daughter of the mother-in-law not believed? Mishum de ika ima de sanyala. He nami sanyala. Because her mother, the mother-in-law, doesn't like the daughter-in-law. So too, her daughter doesn't like the daughter-in-law. It's natural. People listen to their mother. And therefore, if the mother doesn't like this woman, so then the daughter is not going to like this woman. But here, v'hocha leko ima de sanyala. Here, in the situation where the father had another wife, so that wife's not involved anymore in this, and there's no hatred between the original wife and this daughter-in-law. And therefore, we wouldn't necessarily say that the father-in-law's daughter is going to hate the daughter-in-law. Or do we say no? Oduma, taima de bas chomos, or why does the daughter of the mother-in-law dislike the wife? Because the Yomer Ka'ochla Legirsin or the Ima, because she's eating up my mother's Yerusha. My mother worked hard with her husband to go and have all this, and now the daughter-in-law is going to get it all. So therefore, that reasoning applies as well to the father-in-law's daughter, Hochanami. She says, she's eating up my father's stuff. So therefore, the same reasoning applies. So it's very possible to say that both reasons apply to both the father-in-law and the mother-in-law's daughter. Or one could argue it only applies to the mother-in-law because the mother-in-law has a dislike, which she transmitted to her daughter. But the father-in-law's daughter didn't necessarily have that dislike. So that's the question that they ask in the Beis Medrash, and the Gemara tries to answer it from the following Mishnah. Our Mishnah. Toshma. Hakol nemanim la'ida chutz mechamesh nashim. Our Mishnah said only these five women. Now, if it's true that it's the father-in-law's daughter as well, it should have said that too. V'miso she's having. It should have said six women and not five. So one says, no, that's not a raya. Dilma taima debas chomasa diomer ka'achla l'girsona debenashai. So loshna bas chomasa v'loshna bas chomia. No, the reasoning for the mother-in-law's daughter is the same exact reasoning as the father-in-law's daughter, in that each of them is going to say, you're using up, this daughter-in-law is using up my parents' inheritance, whether it's the mother or the father, it doesn't make any difference. She's going to be upset that this daughter-in-law is taking away from their comfort. And therefore, that's why it doesn't mention a sixth person, because the reasoning is the same. No difference. Mother-in-law, it mentions the mother-in-law's daughter, it also means the father-in-law's daughter. So there's no raya from this that the father-in-law's daughter is not included in our Mishnah as well. Now, the girsa that we have is v'anan tanan, but it really is a brisa, so it should be. The Masorah says changes around and says v'hot tanya. We learned in the following brisa that there are seven women, chutz misheva noshim, that aren't believed. The five of our Mishnah plus two other ones. So the Gemara says this brisa hai is Rabbi Yehudahi. Now again, we have the girsa that nine because it sounds like it's a Mishnah, but the Masorah says that this is a brisa, so it should be ditanya. And what does it say in this brisa, which is Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Mosif Av, he adds on two additional women. What are the two additional women? Ashes Av, the father's wife, and Vaakala, and the wife's daughter-in-law. So there are two additional women here that we suspect may hate the wife, and therefore don't go and are not believed to say that the wife's husband died. Again, Ashes Av, the father's new wife, another stepmother, so to say, and the wife's daughter-in-law, Vakala. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda adds these two. So the rabbis disagree. The Chacham say, Amlo, Eishes Av, why would you say that the Eishes Av should not be believed? Harehi b'chlal basabal. There is no difference between the daughter of the husband and a new wife of the husband. Both are going to say, hey, my husband or my father is being taken advantage over here by this wife, the daughter-in-law, and therefore, they are included already in our Mishnah. And that's why the Chacham say, we disagree with Rabbi Yehuda that you have to mention it separately. Likewise, the Kala, the daughter-in-law of the wife, Harei B'chlal Chamosa, is no different than the mother-in-law. Just like the mother-in-law has an enmity, a dislike with the daughter-in-law, so too does the wife over here, her daughter-in-law, have an enmity with her, a dislike with her. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, these two additional women that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned are already included in our Mishnah. No, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, why doesn't he agree with that? So he says, no. Bishlamo chamosa. We understand why the mother-in-law dislikes the daughter-in-law, the wife over here, because sanyala lekala diyamo ka'ochla l'girsani, because she doesn't like her daughter-in-law, because she says, you're using up all my husband's money over here. Your son and you are using up my husband's money, so therefore she doesn't like him. However, elokala, my time is signing the chamosa. Why would the daughter-in-law not like the mother-in-law? So bishlama basa baal. We understand why the daughter of the husband, the sanya li'esha sa'av, she would hate the wife of the father, the armor ka'achla l'gir sedei di'ein, because she's upset that you're using up everything that my mother worked so hard for, and the l'gir sedei di'ein. Ela esha sa'av, but the wife of the father, my time is signing the basa baal. Why should the wife of the father not like the daughter-in-law, the boss of the Baal, her stepdaughter? There's no natural enmity. That's why Rabbi Yehuda had to go and include these two women specifically. They're not exactly like the Chacham say, like the five cases that are already listed. No, if they're not exactly like that, so then why did Rabbi Yehuda include them at all? Elamai Mosef Tarti. If there's no reason for them to be included, why did he include them? So it says there is a reason. It's not the same reason as the other five, but there is a reason to include them. Elokala, the daughter-in-law, my time Masani l'chamosa, why does the daughter-in-law not like the mother-in-law? The Megala Livna called the Yavda, because the mother-in-law tells her son everything that the daughter-in-law is doing wrong. So that's why the daughter-in-law doesn't like the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law is always telling her son, she's not good enough for you. Eshesav, the wife of the father, why is she not believed? Nami Sanya Labasabal. She's not going to like her husband's daughter. Why? The Megala Leovia called the other. Because she's going to go and reveal, this daughter is going to reveal to the father everything that the stepmother does wrong. And therefore, for these two reasons, that's why Rav Yehuda included these two women as well. Not for the reasons that the Chacham said in the Mishnah, that doesn't apply. But for these two separate reasons, and that's why Rav Yehuda lists them separately. No, how come the Chacham don't do this? Because the Chacham say, Rabbanan, the famous pasuk for Mishlei, Kamayim haponim laponim, that water reflects what you see. If a person looks in a mirror, looks in water, so if he has a smile on his face, so then the water shows that smile. If he has a frown on his face, so the water shows that frown. Kamayim haponim laponim. The water reflects exactly what you feel. So when you're smiling at another person, that person is going to smile at you. When you're frowning at another person, you're showing disrespect to another person, that person is naturally going to disrespect you. Kelev ha'odom li'odom. The pasuk in Mishlei continues and says, this is the way human beings act towards each other. If you smile at somebody, they're going to naturally smile back at you. If you give them a look, so they're going to give you a look back. If you treat them with antagonism, they're going to be responsive back to you with antagonism. So therefore, I'm going to say, these women in this situation are going to have that natural antagonism because you have the antagonism towards them. Why doesn't Rav Yehuda say that? Yehuda says this pasuk in Mishlei is talking about Divrei Torah. Ahi b'Divrei Torah k'siv. It's talking about Divrei Torah and doesn't teach us the way a person acts towards another person. It's saying that if you learn Torah in the proper way, so the Torah will stay with you. So it's talking about Torah, and if you show the Torah the proper respect, then the Torah will stay with you. That's one way to understand this. There are other ways to understand this as well, but that's how Rav Yehuda learns this, and therefore Rav Yehuda uses his rationale for these two women, why they're included as well. Okay, I hope that was clear. It's a little bit complicated, but let's go right to it. Amar Ravacha Bar Avya, Ravacha Bar Avya said, "Boy, my Rav, the Essen Eretz Yisrael, Chamosa Habali Achamikan Mahu, a woman who could be your mother-in-law. In other words, the man who's going to be your Yavam, his mother. She will be your mother-in-law if the Yavam takes you in Yibam. So when Reuven dies, Rachel falls in Yibam to Shimon. Shimon's mother is different than Reuven's mother. Let's assume that. They're only half-brothers, paternal brothers, so the Yibam is a Chiyuv, but they're different mothers. So what about believing Shimon's mother to say that Reuven died? Are we concerned that since she's a potential mother-in-law, if her son Shimon does Yibam, then she's a potential mother-in-law, and she already doesn't like her future daughter-in-law? Well, we say, no, right now, she's not the mother-in-law, and therefore she's believed. That's the two sides of the coin. Chamosa, bo, liachani kanmahu, a potential future mother-in-law, is she believed or not to say that Reuven passed away? Do we say, mi, masko, adaito, demis, baal, do we say that she's already presuming that Reuven is going to die, and that her son Shimon is going to take the wife of Reuven, the widow, Rachel, in Yibam, v'nofla kameyav, v'sanyalo, so she already hates her, and therefore she's not believed, because she may want to get him in trouble. Oh, no. Or do we say no? Right now, they're not yet mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, so there's no hatred yet there, and therefore she is believed. We turn to Kuf Yudzayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, I'll show you a raya from the Mishnah that will have Yitzhak Shem in tomorrow's Shia. Toshma, it says in the Mishnah, in tomorrow's Shia, Omra Meis Bali, the Achakach Meis Chomi, if a woman went with on a business trip with her, both her husband and her father-in-law, right? The husband and father-in-law work together, and she goes on them on the business trip, and Nebuch, she comes back and says that Meis Bali, my husband, died, and then afterwards, V'achakach Meis Chomi, my father-in-law died after that. Now, once she says her husband died, she no longer is the daughter-in-law, right? Once her husband dies, she loses the status of being the daughter-in-law. So, the din is, Tinase V'titoksuba, she is believed for herself, there was peace between her and her husband, there's shalom in the world, so she's believed to go and remarry based upon the testimony that she says that her husband died, and she collects her ksuba. However, V'chamosu asura, but her mother-in-law is not allowed to go and remarry based upon the former daughter-in-law telling her that she can go and get remarried because the father-in-law is dead. Why not? My taima, chamosu asura, why is the mother-in-law not allowed to go and get remarried? Isn't it because lab mishum that we say the amrinon lo bala mayis v'lo chamiya mayis? Isn't it because we say that neither the husband passed away, nor did the father-in-law pass away. That's what the mother-in-law is forced to believe. And therefore, and that which we say that the daughter-in-law said that both of them died, it's only that she doesn't like her mother-in-law, and that's why she wants the mother-in-law to get into trouble. She says that her father-in-law passed away, the mother-in-law is going to get remarried, and boom, the father-in-law is going to show up, and ha, she gets her mother-in-law to have to be divorced from her father-in-law, as well as from any new husband that she has, and the children, mamzerim, etc., etc. So, in this situation, her intention is only lekilkul lechamosa hu demachavna and sabra lebasa shaita lotese titzdarit. And she says, I'll get rid of that mother-in-law and I won't have to deal with her anymore. So therefore, you see that even though right now there is no potential, we see that even though there is a future potential, we're concerned about it. So therefore, we can try to bring a raya to our case with the mother of the yavam that the same thing should apply. So Gemara says, not necessarily so. Dilma shiny hasam. It's different in this Mishnah in tomorrow's Shia. Why? The rogish lo tzara. She already has an inbred hatred for her mother-in-law, and that's why she's willing to go and do this right now. But in the case of the Yavam's mother-in-law, she doesn't have any inbred hatred of the daughter-in-law or the future daughter-in-law, and therefore lav davka will you say that she wouldn't be able to testify. So we can't bring any raya from tomorrow's Mishnah to the question that we ask now, what about the future mother-in-law, the Yavam's mother, would she believed or would she not be believed? Next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Eid Omer Meis, if you have one witness to say that the husband passed away, the nisus, and then the wife remarries based upon the eid echad. She was daiko minsuva. She checked it out, and then she got remarried. And then suddenly, after she's remarried, uba echad v'omar lo meis. And then a single witness comes and says, "No, your husband is still alive." So what's the din? Hareze lo teitzi. She's allowed to stay married to the second new husband. Obviously, unless we know that the first husband is really still alive. Just because this one witness came, that doesn't prove it. If he comes back, of course, she's not allowed to stay married, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. But right now, just based upon the one witness who comes and say that, no, your husband is still alive, Hare Zulo Totse, we don't make her go out from the new husband. What happens, however, if Eid Omer Meis, if one witness says that the husband passed away, and then Shnayim Omrim Lo Meis, and then two witnesses come and say that the husband didn't die. In this situation, Afapishanisis, even though she got married based upon the testimony of the first witness, Teitze, we force her to get divorced from the new second husband because we have two witnesses saying that her first husband is alive. More, we'll explain this a little bit more in detail. Finally, the third case of the Mishnah, Shnayim Omrim Meis, two come and say that your husband is dead. And then the Eid Omer Lo Meis, and then one witness comes and says the husband is not dead. So Afa Bishaloni says, in this situation, even though she hasn't yet gotten married, we still believe the first two witnesses, Tinasi, she's allowed to get married on the strength of the first two witnesses, even though there's another single witness that came along and said that her husband is not dead. So, let's jump to the Gemara and better understand the Mishnah. There's some nuances in the Mishnah that we'll now learn in the Gemara. Gemara says, in the situation that we said that she listened to the first witness who said that her husband died and she got married, and then if another witness came, we don't force her to get divorced from the new husband, Taima Denisis. It seems to imply only because she got married. Ha, lo nisus, if she didn't get married, she just had gotten permission to get married, and then the second witness comes and says that your husband's still alive, lo tinasi, we wouldn't allow her to get married in that situation. But how come? Why not? V'amar Ula had said, whenever the Torah, in fact, believes a single witness, in that situation, Harei kan shnayim. It's as if there are two witnesses. When the Torah gave an emunus to one witness, so then it's as if there are two witnesses here. And therefore, when the second single witness comes, Ein Dvar Shalecha, that second single witness is now going up against two, as if there were two. Ein Dvar Shalecha b'makom shnayim. So how come the Mishnah seems to be implying that only if she got married would she not have to get a divorce? But if she didn't get married, she wouldn't be allowed to get married. That seems to be not true. So Gemara says, you're right, it isn't true. Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Eid Echad Omer Meis. If you have one witness comes and says that her husband died, and therefore, vihitirua li nase, based and gave her permission to marry, and we count that as if it's two witnesses. And now, uba echad v'amar lo meis, and another single witness comes and says that her husband's not dead, in that situation, when we said lo teitze, it means mehetera harisha. We don't make her leave from the original heter that we gave her then she's allowed to get married. Even though she hasn't yet gotten married, she still is allowed to get married based upon the first witness that came, because we count that witness as if it's two. And therefore, the single sole witness that comes afterwards is not believed as if it was against two. Then the Mishnah says, Eid Omer Meis, if one witness says the husband died, but then two witnesses came along and said he didn't die, in that situation, even if she got married, we have to ask her to leave the second husband. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? You have two witnesses against one witness. Certainly, the two witnesses that are coming, they carry so much weight that the one witness who originally came is pushed aside. So what's the Chiddush of our Mishnah? So Gemara says there's a big Chiddush in our Mishnah. Lo tzricha, we need this second part of the Mishnah to teach us bipsule eidos uchad Rabbi Nechemya. We're dealing over here not with kosher men, but with psule eidos, with people that normally would not be accepted to be a witness. And this is in accord with what Rabbi Nechemya said. What did Rabbi Nechemya say? The Tanya. We learn what Rabbi Nechemya said in the following brisa. Rabbi Nechemya omer, kol makom sheimina Torah eidecha. Whenever the Torah gave a believability to a single witness, Rabbi Nechemya said, "Holech acharov deos." Then we follow the majority, the number of witnesses. That's what you look at. Be'asu shtei noshim be'ish echad. Nay anoshim be'ish echad. In this situation, they said that the two that come afterwards, even though they're women, are the same as if there were two men that came after an ish echad, and that we believe the two. So even though they're not kosher witnesses, we go two against one, and we believe the two against the one. Basically, what Rechem is telling us is that normally, when we have two kosher witnesses against 100 kosher witnesses, we don't say that the value of the 100 is greater than the two. It's heimamru veheimamru. We don't look at the numbers when you have kosher witnesses. When you're dealing with witnesses that are not kosher witnesses, so in this situation, you go after the numbers. So when you're dealing here with one witness followed by two witnesses, we don't say that they're equal, but we say two versus one, and we follow the second group of witnesses. Thus, halacha lemaisa, when you have the first person who comes, even if that's a man, nevertheless, if you then have two women coming, we believe the two women over the one man. Even though we said that when one man comes, he's like two witnesses, but here, it's like two not complete witnesses, and therefore we go by the majority, the two women are going to outrank this one man. That's the first version of Rabbi Nechemya. And therefore, even though she had gotten married based upon that one man, which the Gemara said, Hamina, as if it was two, but now the two women come, so it's two against one, and she has to get divorced from that second husband. That's the first version. B'boy same, alternatively, what did Rabbi Nechemya say? Kol hecha d'oso eidechad kosher meyikara. When you have a single man who comes, so then, boom, afilu meya noshim ki eidechad damyan. Then even if you have 100 women come, it's one against one. That's how we view it. So, in this situation, what are we referring to? Here, Elikagon, the Asoi Isha Meikar. It's not a man that came from the beginning. It was a woman who testified that the husband had passed away. And then we take Rav Nechemya, the Tirtzad, Rav Nechemya Hachi. And now we understand Rav Nechemya's Brice as follows. Rav Nechemya Omer, Kol Mokum Shemina Torei Dechod, when we do believe one witness, Holech Acharov Deos, then we have to follow the majority. Basu Shtei Noshim, the Isha Achas, and we treat over here the two women that come afterwards versus the one woman, Kishne Anoshim Bishacha, like two men against one man. And therefore, the two are believed. However, Avoshtei Noshim Bishacha, if the man had come first, and then you have two women, that would be Kipal Gopal Gudami. That would be like one versus one, and then the normal rules that we believe the first person, the man that comes, he's accepted. So there's two ways to understand Rav Nechemya over here. Finally, we go to the last part of the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah said, "Shnayim omrim meis v'chule." If two witnesses say that the husband died, and then one witness came along and said he didn't die, so then she's allowed even l'chatchila to get married, even though she hasn't gotten married yet. So the Gemara says, "My kamashla, what's the chiddush over here? Bipsule eidus k'rav nechemya, the also baser rov deos. Are you telling me that we're dealing here with two women and then one woman? So that's Rav Nechemya's din. So you just taught it to us. Why are you telling it to us again? Ainuach, it's the same din. So what's the chiddush?" The Gemara says, no, there's a big chiddush over here. Ma'u de tema, you know what I might have said? Ki az linan basarov deos. When do we follow the majority? That's l'chumra. That's to be strict, to say that the woman can't get married. But here, avolukula, we were saying that we follow the majority to allow the woman to get married. Maybe no. Therefore, lo, you might have thought, kamash b'lon, that yes, we even follow the two women against the one woman, lehetera, lekula, and not only lechumra. Again, a little bit of a tough shiur today. This is a good break point with the next Mishnah, and with this we conclude today's shiur.